Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, he covers the NBA for the Action Network. I'm a subscriber. You should be, too. It's Matt Moore. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
Matt, thank you for being here. Always appreciate your time. I'm not sure, everything's a blur these days, but I'm not sure if I've talked to you since the Grizzlies became the best basketball team in the world and John Morant became the best basketball player in the world. So what do you make of these developments?
What a weird, crazy season. Just sometimes everything falls into place. It's cool to see Memphis having that season. Like, they're having a season when everything goes right. Their performance against teams over 500 is just astonishing. Like, they are just beating every good team on the planet. Jaws obviously made the leap. He's going to win most improved player. He's going to get a handful of probably MVP third and fourth place votes. It's just one of the seasons where everything's kind of falling into place. I will say, like, statistically, you look under the hood, there's a couple of concerns that you can have about their inconsistency, especially with how they started off great offensively, and that started to tail, and they started off terribly defensively, and then that went way up. It's hard to figure out what the long-term is. I think all you can do is kind of hang on for the ride and see what happens in the playoffs.
So we have reached the point where, you know, the people who talk on television about the NBA are debating whether the Grizzlies are serious Western Conference contenders. Not next year or the year after the year after, but right now in this moment. They're obviously alone in third in the Western Conference standings. On a surface level, you would say, well, the team that's third should be able to compete with anybody in its conference, especially when they're only 4.5 games out of first place. But still, you mentioned, and I think it's accurate, like, if you look under the hood, there are some concerns there that maybe make the record a little misleading. Where are you at on the Grizzlies, not just trying to advance in the playoffs, but trying to win the Western Conference this season?
I think that this year, more than any other, in both conferences, matchups are going to matter. I think that matchups always kind of matter, but usually there's one or two teams that are just so dominant and so talented, nobody can get past them. And you know, that team on surface level in the East is the Brooklyn Nets, but they've got a lot of vulnerabilities. They've got no defensive front court. In the West, if the Grizzlies get the Warriors, and that's crazy considering it's the Warriors, multiple championships, Steph Curry, et cetera, I like Memphis's chances because Memphis this year is probably the best chaos team. If it's a frenetic environment, everything is hyped up and out of control, Memphis, I think, has the best combination of players, talent, and energy to get it done in that environment. Versus teams like Utah and Phoenix, who are much more, no, we're going to keep this under control. We're going to play at our pace, and you're going to have to execute at our level. That's where I think I get worried about. But those teams also have other teams that they struggle with. I think the Suns would struggle with the Warriors. So I think seeding is going to matter a lot. Health is always important. I do not think it's crazy to think the Grizzlies can make a Western Conference final. I cannot get myself to a place where I could say they can beat whoever they're going to face in the Western Conference final. I think that's probably their ceiling. I compared this team to the 2011 Thunder. That's what they feel like to me. And that team made the Western Conference finals in a surprise year for a young team and then got bounced by the Mavericks. That, to me, is the best comp for where this team is at this year.
Talking to Matt Moore from the Action Network. He's on Twitter at HP. Basketball, specifically on Ja. He's going to make his first All-Star game. He's going to get some MVP votes. If you're voting most improved player, the vote probably has to go to him. Kendrick Perkins, who, of course, former player, talks on ESPN about the NBA, has called him Jordan-esque, which is the first person to ever take it that far. Now that we've seen that third-year leap become a reality, do you have a grasp for what Ja Morant can actually become?
Oh, boy. That's a good question. I've felt that all of the comps for him have been poor. because I, you know, there's been like, well, what about Iverson? I'm like, I don't know. He's honestly a little bit better of a passer than AI was. If you look at some of the most athletic guards, it's like, okay, but Ja's even a level beyond that. You know, the shot, obviously, I think is the big question mark. It started off 40% from three. It's tailed off in the modern NBA. You got to be able to hit threes. That's the consistency issue there. But he's so explosive until he suffers an injury, and maybe hopefully he never does, but if until he suffers an injury, he's simply at a level where he can just power past so many guys, and his finishes are second to none in the league. Like, I think Kyrie's the only guy that's got as wild a finishing ability as he does. So he's also a guy, I mentioned that chaos factor. When Ja has those runs and he makes these plays, you just feel the other team just kind of take two steps backward, whether it's a massive dunk or the block. He just catches you off guard with the plays that he makes, and there's a mental impact there that I think that honestly goes further than the stats will show.
Tonight they're playing the Bucks in Milwaukee, and when I was looking at the Eastern Conference standings earlier, I recognized, and this is stuff you would know off the top of your head, but the top six in the East are all bunched together. They're all, you know, in between 25 and 28 wins. They're not separated by more than 2.5 games. Obviously, Milwaukee right now, 27-19, alone in fifth in the Western in the Eastern Conference. But there's some unfamiliar, a bit surprising teams up there with them. Chicago and Cleveland. You know, I guess once we're halfway through the season, even more than that, you know, you can acknowledge that these teams are obviously for real. But, I mean, is it too wild to think we could see something like the Bulls or the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals?
No, I don't think it is. The Bulls and the Grizzlies have a lot of similarities in terms of the leaps that they've made. And how, if you said that, okay, they're going to have this spot in the standings at this point, at midway through the season, you would say, okay, so they're having a good regular season year, but nobody really believes that they'll win in the playoffs. And I think with both of them, they have a lot more upside. You know, Chicago, because their defense was so good to start the season, if they can get back to that, they've fallen off. And that's coincided with Alex Caruso being out, who gets back tonight. You know, I think Chicago has a real chance to make noise. They've got shot makers. I think Zach LaVine is an all NBA level guard, combo guard. They pass the ball well. There are matchups like with the Grizzlies where I think they'll struggle, but I think that they're really alive. Cleveland, I don't know what to make. I really don't. And it's not that I don't, you know, believe in them, because I think Darius Garland's been amazing, and Evan Mobley is a runaway for Rookie of the Year. But their formula is so wild, playing three bigs, having them crash from the outside, Darius Garland carrying so much on his plate, losing the guys that they have. They've just pieced this together. I think J.B. Bickerstaff has got to be, you know, coach of the year for what he's done with that crew. So I don't know what to make of Cleveland. I feel like they're going to run out of firepower when they get up in the playoffs. But Chicago, I think, does have a real opportunity. If they can get the right seeding matchup, I think they can make a run.
The Sixers are sixth in the East, but just 2.5 games out of first. Ben Simmons still sitting over there to the side. How does this thing ultimately get resolved?
Boy, everyone wants to know. I think the odds of him actually getting traded this year are starting to be pretty low, because Daryl Morey has maintained consistently, I want the superstar. And there's always kind of the opportunity for a Sacramento deal. I think there's probably something on the table there. They've lessened their resistance, including De'Aaron Fox, but that still is going to take a third team. You know, some of the guys that he was waiting on, you know, Damian Lillard has said time and time again, made it apparent he's not asking out. That is not happening, at least not until the summer. Bradley Beal, I've heard, is actually less inclined to ask out. Like, he's more committed to Washington, wants another max contract, fifth year included. So the superstars that you would think are available are not there. So ultimately, I think there's a good chance that Ben Simmons waits to the deadline. The Sixers are still a really good team. I think they're kind of a sleeper in the East, but you do wonder if they're going to have enough without moving Simmons for something to help them make a run this year.
Also in the East, Brooklyn sitting at the third in the standings, but just a half game out of first behind the Bulls and the Heat. Kyrie Irving made it clear earlier this week that he will not get vaccinated. Kevin Durant's injury will not move him in any way, given that the Nets are going to be shorthanded for the foreseeable future. Kendrick Perkins said that KD and James Harden are, quote, soft for not speaking out against Kyrie Irving, because his refusal to get vaccinated is lessening what the Nets are, and making James Harden's job harder in the absence of Kevin Durant. Do you think Kevin Durant and James Harden should speak up, or have they handled this properly?
I think here's the thing. They can speak out, and it's not going to change anything.
Right.
Like, they're just not. The other thing is, I got to be real honest with you here, GP, like, they're not a team. They're a branding exercise. Like, look at this team. Like, they're a marketing machine. And I think part of it was these guys got together because, like, we're friends. This will be awesome. And, like, so many NBA superstars, they find, oh, don't always want to work with the people I hang out with. And I think that they've kind of discovered that. Well, there's been signs that KD's been a little unhappy. I have a hard time believing the Nets would bar Kyrie for the time that they did without KD's expressed permission or support. And then Harden, there's rampant discussion that Harden is considering, you know, maybe other options this offseason when he's a free agent. So, to me, I don't know how close that they are. I don't know how much of an impact that'll make. And, you know, coming out and doing it publicly is only going to create a further distraction. I don't know what that helps. They may have communicated that, but I don't think anything matters. It's Kyrie. He lives in his own universe, and nobody's going to change his mind.
Kevin and James have both said, like, you know, we love Kyrie. You know, that's his decision. I haven't even really talked to him about it. Do you believe that? Do you believe, like, if Kevin Durant and James Harden are sitting in a hotel room night before a game hanging out, do you think they are cool with Kyrie or, like, so frustrated with them? I can only project. I'd be frustrated, but I'm curious what you think, how you think they are.
I think there's probably a level of frustration. I also think that some of this does get into, you know, the people that you work with or even family when there's touchy subject matters that you just want to avoid. Like, some people can't avoid those. And they're like, no, I'm going to talk about this. And, like, I'm going to make it apparent to you. And other times I think it's, okay, I don't want to make things awkward. And those dynamics do really happen. And ultimately, they're coworkers. Like, that's their ultimate relationship. They're friends, but they're also coworkers. And there's only so far you can go. Players are, to me, they are so respectful of whatever anybody does because they want the same respect extended to them. They always protect each other. And so I'm not surprised if they haven't talked to him about it. I also don't know how you broach that conversation. Like, hey, so you know science is real, right? Like, you're aware of science? I don't know that how you have that conversation with someone.
That makes sense. I'm talking to Matt Moore from the Action Network. He's on Twitter at HP Basketball. Last thing before I let you go, the Lakers have played 44 games. They've won 22 of them. They've lost 22 of them. It got to such a bad place. LeBron publicly apologized to Laker fans on Twitter recently. Then they go out and beat Utah. Russ has that big dunk. Are they going to stand pat at the trade deadline, or do you expect them to do something massive just to try to shake this thing up?
Depends on if anybody is willing to take Russ. You know, if anybody's – every GM I ask about is kind of in a different place. Let me put it this way. There are those that say, no, I think Russ still has value. Like, I still want him on my team. And I ask, well, would you trade for him? He's like, oh, no, I can't. I'm in a good spot. Can't do that. Sorry, not the money or whatever. So it seems like the idea of Russ is good, except when you actually have to do it. And there's others that think that he legitimately is untradeable and no one would move for it. I will say, I think history has shown over the last two seasons that teams that add Russ get better in the second half of the season. Their schedule gets tougher, it's true, but they are also going to get AD back, and maybe AD will be closer to what he should be than he was to start the season. LeBron's been playing great. I still think there's a glimmer of hope for them. It's just that they're up against a lot. Outside of that, I don't think they have any assets they can move. I don't think Talen Horton-Tucker is going to get them anything meaningful. If they make a move, it's going to be on the margins and probably won't make a major difference in their outcome.
That is Matt Moore from the Action Network. Make sure you're subscribed. I am. It really is valuable information. ActionNetwork.com. That's ActionNetwork.com. He's on Twitter at HP Basketball. I appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for being here.
Anytime for you, man. Take care.
All right. That's Matt Moore from the Action Network. When we come back, Penny Hardaway spoke to the media earlier today in advance of tomorrow's game against SMU. He was asked about the Rasheed Wallace situation. He answered the questions. We'll talk about it next. You listen. Gary Parrish Show, we're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you cheer on Team USA as they go for the gold, you want to catch all the action anywhere with Xfinity Internet and mobile. You want to watch Nathan Chen land gravity-defying, mind-bending, jaw-dropping jumps at home with a reliable connection, even when everyone's online. You want to watch Jamie Anderson nail high-flying, mind-blowing 720 spinning tricks on the go with nationwide 5G on the most reliable network. You want to experience every what just happened, can't believe my eyes, wow, this is awesome moment wherever you are. You and Xfinity Internet and mobile together.
Get fast and reliable internet for just $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year contract. And ask how to get 12 times the speed for the same internet price when you add Xfinity Mobile. So go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Offer ends 1/23/22. Restrictions apply. New Connect internet 50 megabit per second customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Based on root metrics by IHS Markit's Root Score Reports 2H2020 of 4 mobile networks.
Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing is now currently hiring all positions. If you're ready to take your career to the next level, please apply today. Choate's is offering huge sign-on bonuses to seasoned technicians, plumbers, installers, and air duct cleaners. At Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing, we offer a career, not just a job, by putting you in a paid training program to develop your technical and customer service skills to best serve our customers. Choate's offers top pay in the Mid-South, weekly pay, paid vacation and holidays, company matching retirement account, health, dental, vision, and life insurance, and Christmas, Thanksgiving, and birthday bonuses. If this sounds like an exciting opportunity for you, then we should talk. So call us at 347-8086 or apply online at choateshvac.com under the careers link. Come join our family.
Finally, a flashing dashboard light that's good news. There's a new Express Oil Change and Tire Engineers in Olive Branch, where you can experience friendly, trustworthy service and get all your auto needs met in one convenient place. Stop by and enjoy amazing deals like $20 off our full-service stay-in-your-car 10-minute oil change and $100 off a set of four tires. Express Oil Change and Tire Engineers, now open in Olive Branch on Goodman Road near Popeyes. We take care of your ride so you can enjoy the drive.
Did you know the air in your home can be up to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air? With roughly 90% of time spent indoors, poor indoor air quality can affect both your health and comfort. Pollen, mold spores, allergens, and viruses can all be controlled with effective filtration, ventilation, and humidity control. At Landmark Heating and Air, we offer air purification solutions to help you breathe easier. We'll help you find the solution that's right for your home. Call us at 365-4260 or visit us at landmarkheatingandair.com.
Your life, your hopes, your passions. These things are none of our business. Your baby monitor research. If you're using too much diaper cream.
And whatever you are searching for at 1:15 a.m.
That's really none of our business. Because your life is private. And unlike other tech companies, we think your internet should be too. Aw, how old are they? That's none of our business either. Protect your privacy online for free with DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Hey, Jeff Allen, it's a new year, and that means time to make your customers happy in 2022 at Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah.
Happy is easy to do with our great savings. I've got a take your pick that will knock your socks off. How about a 2022 Kia Forte LXS or a 2022 Kia Sportage? Your choice, $199 per month.
Forte is $27.99 due at signing, and Sportage is $34.99 due at signing. Plus, all Gossett Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty program.
Plus, a 2022 Kia Sorento $359, only $34.99 due at signing, and all 36-month leases. So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy at Gossett Kia Mount Moriah, 2680 Mount Moriah, or KiaMountMoriah.com.
All 36-month leases, $650 acquisition fee, 30,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, Sportage, and 702-7277, MSRP 25460, Forte, NE442833, MSRP 21980, Sorento, NGO990119, MSRP 35340. Includes all rebates and incentives, PF 695, plus finance through KMF, excludes tax title and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 2/3/2022, dealer stock only.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Get ultra strong for your South Pole. Charmin keeps your undies whiter than the North Pole. A shiny, hiney, a brand new year. Call it a Charmin, happy new year.
May your holiday be Charmin, clean, merry, and bright. May all your undies be Charmin, clean, white.
Charmin Ultra Strong just cleans better. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
You probably wouldn't leave thousands of dollars on the table at a diner. Why leave thousands on the table with your tax return? Jackson Hewitt will help make sure you don't. This year, there are thousands of dollars worth of new tax credits. Your Jackson Hewitt Tax Pro will help you track down every last one, so you get your biggest refund guaranteed. Don't leave thousands on the table this year. Discover thousands of dollars in tax credits instead.
Check, please.
Learn more at jacksonhewitt.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your best man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my then. See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat?
Goat body.
All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you. Price went up.
Yeah.
Angel investor.
New Amsterdam vodka. It's a premium 80 proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's five times distilled for unparalleled smooth. It's filtered three times to create a soft finish. As I'm sure you know by now, it is so smooth, you can drink it straight. And I promise you, it is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's a quality vodka that is reasonably priced. It wouldn't make any sense for you to go into a store and spend extra money on any other brand, because New Amsterdam Vodka, it is the best value you're going to find when you're looking for a quality vodka to enjoy. If you like flavored vodkas, they have a bunch. Watermelon, lemon, raspberry, orange, redberry, peach, pineapple, coconut. The list is long. If you don't see your favorite flavor in your favorite store, ask them to get it for you. They can. And if you're on a gluten-free diet, either by choice or necessity, understand New Amsterdam makes a gluten-free vodka. It has a brown label, so it stands out. It looks different than the others. Brown label. If you don't see it, ask them to get it for you. Next time you're in a bar, restaurant, or liquor store, ask for it by name. It's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out. On the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. Jeff Clark is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories at 444. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 444. Story number one.
Penny Hardaway met with the media earlier today in advance of tomorrow's game with SMU inside FedEx Forum. And per usual, it created an actual news headline. I don't know that anybody's better at creating headlines out of press conferences than Penny Hardaway.
I think that's probably accurate.
Every time he holds a press conference, there's like a legitimate...
Something newsy, yep.
There's something newsy in there. Like, Taylor Jenkins doesn't do that.
No, Taylor Jenkins is very good at avoiding that, actually.
Jenkins has never said a headline in a press conference. And Penny Hardaway does it every time he speaks. This time, it was about Rasheed Wallace. He was asked, you know, is Rasheed Wallace, you know, more or less, is he still with the team? And Penny said he has moved into a, quote, consultant role, and he's no longer working with the team on a day-to-day basis. In other words, Rasheed Wallace is no longer an assistant coach for the University of Memphis men's basketball program. And though Penny didn't get into the specifics, it seems pretty clear that it is tied to his vaccination status, which is believed to be unvaccinated. Like, when we did see Rasheed as a member of the Memphis coaching staff, he was constantly in a mask, even during times when, like, nobody else in the gym was. And that seemed to suggest that he was unvaccinated. And now it seems that he, I don't want to put it too strongly, but has been asked to not be around the basketball team, after the team's unusually low vaccination rate became a big issue in advance of the game against Tennessee that got canceled. As we've been over lots of times, you know, Memphis didn't lose that game or have to cancel subsequent games because of a COVID outbreak within the program. That's what happened at Duke. It's what happened at Ohio State. It's what happened at UCLA. That is what happened at a lot of programs. But those programs I just mentioned, Duke, Ohio State, UCLA, just to name a few, they're all 100% vaccinated. They literally just had breakthrough cases that put them in a place where they couldn't compete in a basketball game. It's not what happened at Memphis. Memphis had two cases initially. And then too many of the rest of the players got contact traced out of competition because they were unvaccinated. And that led to a lot of criticism, deservedly so. Jeff Calkins wrote a column. Mark Giannotto wrote a column. We talked about it a lot on this show. Like the idea that you would go into the season under these circumstances without prioritizing getting your players vaccinated is just completely nonsensical. You know, I spent time in the offseason, Matt Norlander and I, conducting our Candid Coaches series for CBS Sports. And while we were doing that, we talked to more than 100 different college basketball staffs, more than 100, to pick their brains about what type of things they're doing to get their players vaccinated, how much of a priority is it, and how well is it going. And we got a variety of answers. But to a man, everybody we talked to said it's a major priority for us. It's what we're talking about with our players every single day. We hope that they do it on their own. But if they don't, we are trying to educate them, to let them understand that you should do it just because it's the right thing to do. But even if you are conflicted with that, you should do it because you're a member of a team. And if you go into the season unvaccinated, it is going to complicate the way we operate, the way we practice, the way we work out, the way we travel, the way we eat. And you will be subject to testing protocols and contact tracing protocols that vaccinated players will not be subject to. And it could impact you even without you ever testing positive. And by extension, it could impact our team negatively. And they talked about it, and they talked about it, and they talked about it. Some coaches went so far as to tell us, if I have unvaccinated players, I will make their life miserable until they get vaccinated because I'm not going into the season with them. I can't make them get these shots, but what I can do is make them test 3 times a week. And we ain't doing it at 2 in the afternoon. We're going to do it at 5 in the morning. And they're not eating meals with us. They're not in our locker room with us. They're not in the weight room with us. But coach, I don't want to be vaccinated. Okay, you don't have to. Set your alarm for 4:30 though, because you got to get tested tomorrow at 5 a.m. And then again on Wednesday, and then again on Friday. The coaches were like, after a while, they'll get tired of doing that, and then they'll do the right thing, and we can move on. My point is that it was a priority everywhere, everywhere. And at Memphis, for reasons that are, and I say this as nicely as I can say it, impossible to understand, it just was not a priority with the players and also with the coaching staff as it pertains specifically to Rasheed Wallace. And then the whole thing blew up on them, and it became a real story that probably brought about the heaviest dose of criticism toward Penny Hardaway in his 4 years of being the head coach at the University of Memphis. And so, you know, Penny has subsequently said that they have made vaccinations a priority and that the players have responded in a positive way. And I don't know if he means 100% of them or almost all of them, but it seems understood that the players responded after the game in Nashville got canceled and done what they should have done in the preseason. But they got it done now, so they hopefully give themselves the best chance they can give themselves to get through the rest of the season unscathed, or at the very least, to eliminate contact tracing from the equation. My understanding is that Rasheed Wallace just refused. You know, he's Kyrie Irving to the Memphis basketball program. And, you know, at some point, if somebody is not going to comply with what you need them to do or would like them to do, to be a member of your staff and be around your players every single day, then you can reach an impasse. And my understanding is that it's more or less what has happened with Rasheed Wallace. They wanted him to get vaccinated. He refused. And so he's no longer a member of the Memphis coaching staff in any sort of meaningful way. It sort of does surprise me, like, that conversation didn't happen a lot sooner. I mean, Memphis is one of the few staffs in America that has an 81-year-old man working on it. Like, being an unvaccinated person around an 81-year-old man is possibly problematic. And so it took Memphis a little longer to get where it needed to get as it pertained to Rasheed Wallace and this vaccination status, but eventually they did get there. And so now that big headline from the preseason, Rasheed Wallace joining Penny Hardaway's staff, is now just the latest weird thing connected to this basketball program. And when you start to think about all of the weird things that have happened to this basketball program over the past 4 years, it really does stack up in a way that it's unlike anything else at the high major level of college basketball. You know, as we talked about years ago, no other university in America that I know of would have allowed James Wiseman to play in defiance of the NCAA and create those problems. But Memphis did. Made no sense. To anybody with a brain, it made no sense. And now we're still waiting on punishment from that incredibly poor decision. Nobody else at the high major level, far as I know, had to cancel a game this season strictly because of contact tracing of unvaccinated players. But that happened at Memphis. And now Memphis has more or less had to part ways with one of its assistant coaches, you know, in January over vaccination status. That's not happened anywhere else in the country. It's just weird stuff, unusual stuff, one after another after another. And so, you know, I was talking to somebody earlier about it. Just like, you just sort of wish we could get to a point where it'd just be about strictly about basketball. Oh, another weird thing. Like, your starting point guard's father was quoted in the commercial appeal expressing doubt that his son's ankle injury is really the reason he's not playing. I mean, have you read any other story in America this year about a college basketball player's father expressing doubt about his son's injury? You know, by extension, questioning the head coach, whether he's being honest or not? That's something that happened here. It doesn't happen anywhere else. It hasn't happened anywhere else. So you wish you could get to a point where it's just normal. Like, they just practice, play games, and we talk about that stuff. Because too often with this Memphis program, we've talked about things that have nothing to do with shooting and dribbling and passing. It's all stuff on the periphery that, again, is just unusual, uncommon, and weird. And the latest example is just a few months after joining the Memphis staff in a pretty high-profile way, Rasheed Wallace is no longer an active member of the Memphis basketball staff. Rodney Hamilton has been promoted into that third assistant role.
Story number two.
So the biggest development in college basketball last night on the court, Duke went to Florida State and lost 79-78 in overtime. It's the third loss for Duke this season, second loss on the road. We're now 2-for-2 with court stormings of opposing fans when the Blue Devils lose. First, they lost at Ohio State. That court was stormed. Last night they lost at Florida State. That court was stormed. Is that where we're at, Big Bet Bennett? They're just, every time Coach K loses in his final season, they storm in the court?
Florida State, maybe. I could under Ohio State, you got to be a little more proud than that. Come on.
I guess they just wanted to storm on Coach K one last time.
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably where we're at. I think I would not think that would be the last we'll see of that this season.
So Duke was ranked 6th in the country in the AP poll. Florida State unranked. Florida State wins the game. And it is the 55th time that Leonard Hamilton has coached an unranked team to a victory over a ranked team in the AP poll. 55th time.
Dang.
Literally nobody in the history of the world has ever done that more often than Leonard Hamilton. Coached an unranked team to a victory over a ranked team. Second on that list, probably no surprise, Bob Knight, the Indiana legend. But first, at the tip top of it, Leonard Hamilton at Florida State. It's among the reasons you could make a case for him to someday be in the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame. He has had an incredible career, and he's an incredible coach and an incredible communicator, really well-liked throughout the industry, so it's always nice to see him. And his assistant, Stan Jones, proud Memphian, have any kind of success. Last night, they got another big win over Duke, and now Duke will go into its weekend game with Syracuse, trying to recover from a loss where they were 5.5-point favorites at tip-off.
Story number 3.
Tennessee Titans running back Derrick Henry took another step toward being activated before their NFL divisional playoff matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals on Saturday. They held a padded practice, Bennett, in Nashville.
Yep.
And Derrick Henry took contract, and he responded well to it, which I assumed he would.
Yeah, I think even more importantly is he spoke to the media today, and I just don't think the Titans let him speak to the media if they don't really think he's playing on Saturday.
Hey, I don't want to give you any inside information, but I don't know if you noticed, but last night I was working in studio with the great Evan Washburn.
Mm-hmm.
Evan Washburn is, of course, CBS Sports sideline reporter on the NFL.
Yep, I saw him.
He will be in Nashville this weekend.
Okay.
For the Titans-Bengals game. Fact,
tell him to holler at me. Bring me down on the sidelines.
I'm sure he'll just take you right down on the sidelines. I'm sure that's something sideline reporters are allowed to do at NFL games. And so I was with Evan, and he was going back home to Baltimore early today, and then tomorrow catching a flight to Nashville in advance of Saturday's playoff game. And I asked Evan, I said, so where are we at on Derrick Henry? And he said, oh, he's playing.
Yeah. Yeah, he did say – the one thing that he said in the press conference today was that he still has a plate in his foot, which I was like, okay, that's a little sketchy, but he seems fine. I mean, he looked good in pads yesterday. I'll say that much.
Yeah, and it's funny that one of the tests is to see how he handles contact. Like, it's Derrick Henry. He's going to handle contact just fine.
I think he'll be all right, yeah.
he's a giant who runs really fast. I'm sure he'll handle contact really fine. So at this point, it seems pretty clear, barring some sort of setback – over the next couple of days, he will be activated on Friday and in a Titans uniform on the field on Saturday inside Nissan Stadium, where Big Bet Bennett will be sitting trying to watch his Titans advance.
Story number 4.
Troy Aikman went on radio this morning and blasted the Dallas Cowboys for not prioritizing CeeDee Lamb more often than they did during this past weekend's loss to the 49ers. Do you see these quotes from Troy Aikman?
Yeah, I did.
They're pretty good.
Frankly, I think he's right.
Let me tell you what he said. He said, there was a lot of single coverage on CeeDee Lamb. I hate going back to when I was playing because nobody cares. But what I see around the league is...